You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we return here. It is a Thursday edition episode of Locked On Ravens. Again, Kevin Ostreicher here with you today. And we're back here to talk more Ravens football. Look, the NFL draft, closer and closer we keep getting to it. And it is an exciting time because, you know, free agency for the Ravens, it's been a little bit underwhelming. I think a lot of people think it's been horrible and awful and atrocious. And, you know, to an extent, like, sure, I can see why some people feel that way. You know, a lot of expectation coming into this offseason. There were a lot of different things that the Ravens could have done, a lot of different directions the Ravens could have gone in during 2021 free agency. They opt to kind of keep it kind of what they normally do. They kept it along those lines. They signed someone on the very first day in Kevin Zeitler, but overall didn't really make a ton of other moves. And here in the second segment, I do want to talk about kind of a recap and grading the first month of Ravens free agency. And yes, I say first month because the NFL legal tampering period for free agents so teams could go and actually talk to free agents without getting in trouble for it was on March 15th. Here we are on April 15th. It is officially 1 month since NFL free agency began. Now, not the official day it began, but the legal tampering period. So I'm going to count that as an extension of free agency and say that free agency did start on March 15th when the legal tampering period did. So in the second segment, we'll just kind of recap what the Ravens have done in free agency so far throughout this first month, who they've signed, who they've lost, who they have missed out on, and just give a grade for it because I think it's important to go back and look at what the team and the organization has done to improve the team. So we'll do that in the second segment. Here in the first segment today, I do want to give a bit of an update on Justin Houston as well as get a little bit into what Anthony Levine had to say during his one-on-one with Garrett Downing of BaltimoreRavens.com. Some nice things that he had to say about the organization and what his free agency process was, which I'll give you a little spoiler. It wasn't much of anything because he kind of knew that he wanted to be back in Baltimore anyway. But we'll get into more of that in the first segment. And then in the final segment, we'll be getting into some mock drafts we got from Twitter for Mock Draft Monday. And these Mock Draft Mondays, these mock drafts, soon these segments and these episodes are going to go away. So I'm enjoying every segment I do, every episode I do for Mock Drafts, because soon, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do anymore because the 2021 draft will be completed. So just to recap again, in the first segment, we'll give a Justin Houston update as well as talking a bit about what Anthony Levine Sr. had to say to Garrett Downing of BaltimoreRavens.com. In the second segment, we'll talk about a recap and grading of the Ravens 2021 free agency so far. And then in the final segment, we'll get into some mock drafts from Twitter. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we have a lot to talk about. Let's jump into it. So let's first start off with the Justin Houston update, which we'll talk about here first. And look, at the time of this recording, I don't have much more than I did yesterday. There's not a lot of information regarding Justin Houston's visit. I believe he had most of his visit yesterday on Wednesday. There were some misconceptions and reports that Justin Houston was going to visit on Tuesday. Right, the reports he was going to visit were correct, but how it actually worked was, I believe he got into Baltimore on Tuesday and started his visit later. He got into Baltimore late Tuesday. Most of his visit was yesterday. That was the chunk of it. Again, not a lot as to what actually happened, if he's left Baltimore, if he stayed in Baltimore. I don't have that information right now, you know, at the time I'm recording this, and maybe a couple hours down the road or a couple days down the road, we'll hear something, and maybe that will just be the case. But right now, there isn't a lot of information on it, and I do have an update in terms of, you know, the Colts situation, because Justin Houston obviously coming from the Colts and had a great 2 years there. You know, the Ravens were in on him in 2019. He ultimately goes to the Colts. And I talked a bit yesterday about why I think that he made that decision, or at least part of why he made that decision. I think it was because of the fact that the Ravens probably asked him to do more than the Colts asked him to do. And what I mean by that is Houston wanted to play in a 4-3 defense where he could pin his ears back and rush the quarterback. He said that in an interview with NFL Network. And I think that the Ravens probably asked him to do more than that. He said, look, you know, we want you to drop back into coverage, do this, do that, move around the field. And Justin Houston said, look, I've had my fun doing that. Don't want to do it anymore. The Colts are offering me this. I'm going to take it. Had 19 sacks in his 2 years in Indianapolis. And that is that. Now he's a 2021 free agent. And the Ravens are interested yet again. And the Colts are also interested in bringing back Houston. And Jim Irsay, in a call that he had with people about the Colts fundraiser that they're running called Kicking the Stigma, which surrounds mental health and mental health awareness, he took some football questions at the end, and he said that, yeah, look, we can fill a lot of needs throughout the draft. We feel like we can get a corner, an edge rusher, and talked about a bit of needs. But he also said that Justin Houston could return. You know, that's something that is a possibility and on the table. So the Colts seemingly still do have interest in Justin Houston. And that's actually a bigger piece of news than I think some people think it is, because that means the Ravens have competition potentially before the draft. And look, the Ravens, I think it's been made pretty clear by multiple reports by Jameson Hensley and a couple others that it seems like the Ravens are done with free agents, at least signing them, until after May 3rd, which is when the compensatory pick formula no longer negates other compensatory picks that teams get. So if the Ravens were to sign Justin Houston before May 3rd, it would right now cancel out one of the fourth round picks they're slated to receive for either Matthew Judon or Yannick Ngakoue. If they were to sign Justin Houston after May 3rd, that no longer applies. The deadline is over. You can sign unrestricted free agents without losing or having it affect the compensatory pick formula. So that's big, because if the Colts decide, look, we really want Justin Houston back, and Baltimore is in on it right now, but they're probably not going to budge until after the draft, after May 3rd. If Justin Houston wants to sign before May 3rd, and there have been a couple of reports that have said that he is interested in signing before the draft, that could put a wrench in Baltimore's plans here with Justin Houston. Now, I don't think they're panicking. I think Justin Houston would be a phenomenal fit. He is like my number one free agent left on the board for them, because he fills a need that they currently have in an edge rusher who can rush the passer consistently, get consistent pressure. Because look, Tyus Bowser, Pinomi Fee, Jalen Ferguson, great players, not extremely refined as pass rushers. They're not the pass rusher that Justin Houston is, but Justin Houston is not the all-around player that those guys are in aspects. So they would complement each other very well. Two, I think the price. I mean, the price isn't expected to be super high. Jadeveon Clowney signing a 1-year, $8 million deal with the Browns yesterday, worth up to $10 million. So, I mean, Justin Houston is someone who I would just love this team to sign. I think the Ravens have interest for a reason. I think they know that he would be a good fit on their defense, but it's a matter of timing. The Ravens sincerely, like I mean this, love compensatory picks. Like, I cannot put enough emphasis on love in this situation, because it is just there. They have an immense love for them. They have been at this for a while, lead the NFL in compensatory picks ever since the formula was introduced. That's just a thing that's been a part of their franchise. But at some point, when you have Lamar Jackson on a rookie contract, you have Orlando Brown Jr., if he stays, probably playing only one final year in Baltimore, you have to maybe part with a fourth round pick when you're already scheduled to get one more if you lose that other pick and another third round pick for David Culley. I think it's okay to part with just one of them. Now, I get having better draft picks, having more draft picks, that is an asset. But at the same time, I think Baltimore has to become aggressive now on Lamar Jackson's rookie contract these last couple of years, and even the fifth-year option. The money's going to spike there. So really, you have a limited amount of time to continue to build around these quarterbacks, these young players, right? Any NFL franchise has that problem when they have to sign a quarterback to a huge extension. So you have to take advantage of it now, and I think Baltimore should do that if the tipping point is, hey, look, we want to sign you, but we're not going to do it before the draft. If Justin Houston comes back and says, I really need to sign before the draft, or else this isn't going to work out, they just need to buckle, give up the pick, and just go from there, because Houston gives them a legitimate chance to up their defense to another level. I think it'd just be a great move for them in general. Finally, here in this first segment, we're going to quickly talk about what Anthony Levine had to say in his one-on-one with Garrett Downing. And, you know, the overall conversation, very, very lighthearted. It was a nice thing to watch. You can go watch it on the Ravens Twitter or BaltimoreRavens.com. Levine Sr. really just had a lot of nice things to say, said that Baltimore, you know, is home for him. And he's played in Baltimore for 9 seasons. You know, it makes a lot of sense that he feels that way. The thing that I took away, though, is that Anthony Levine, you know, said that he didn't even think about cleaning out his locker, never even crossed his mind, you know. Said that he and John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta all talked, and, you know, he's literally said it's like a family over there, right? Everybody talks, everybody texts each other. That's one of the great things to hear about a franchise like this, because we already know the culture is great, and that's something I love. And here we are now with Anthony Levine Sr., a respected veteran in the locker room, saying these things. I mean, you know, it all just goes hand in hand with each other. He also said that Matthew Judon, who is now a former Raven, now a New England Patriot, said that he didn't even anticipate Levine going anywhere. He said, man, why are you waiting to sign somewhere? Like, why are you waiting? We all know you're going to re-sign with the Ravens. You're a Raven for life. You know, you're someone who's going to be with the Ravens forever. Stuff along those lines. And that it's really funny to me because some of these players, like, you know. Like, with Pernell McPhee, for example, yes, he was gone for a few years with a bunch of different teams. But this offseason, you know, you kind of knew that Pernell McPhee was on the way to re-signing with Baltimore even before he actually, like, made it official or the team made it official. It seemed like Levine was in this same boat, too. Now, I was a little shocked at how many safeties they ultimately did decide to re-sign. Jordan Richards, Geno Stone back, Levine. That could cause a bit of a logjam, but I do think that, you know, overall, Levine is happy to be back in Baltimore. You know, he is a key piece of their defense, their special teams unit. Not so much on the defense anymore, though. He is primarily a special teams guy now, but can play some dime linebacker if the Ravens need him to. But yeah, it was a really nice conversation. I just wanted to touch on it briefly because it's important to always talk about what players have to say about a team, about an organization, and interviews, because these players are human, right? You know, people see them and look at them on the field and they're like, oh, they're athletes. And sure, they're athletes, but they're also human beings. They have really important things to say. And so I want to try to cover as much of that as I can here on Locked On Ravens. We're going to head into our first break now. And when we return, we're going to be talking about the Ravens' first month of 2021 free agency, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And we return here with our second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And we're now going to dive into a month review of the Ravens free agency so far in 2021, with it being April 15th today. March 15th was the official start of the legal tampering period for the NFL, so for me, 1 month of free agency has passed. And so, for the Ravens, yeah, it's been a bit of an interesting offseason, I'll call it, because I think a lot of people went into it with the expectation that, you know, the Ravens were going to sign all these different people, and they were going to revamp their roster in some areas, some position groups, and that's just not what happened. You know, straight up, it's just not what happened, and so for the Ravens, only welcoming in 3 new guys to the team that came from outside of the organization, in guard Kevin Zeitler, tight end Josh Oliver, and wide receiver Sammy Watkins. Now again, this can change, you know, over the course of the next, any minute, any second really, it can change at the drop of a hat, but I still think that for the Ravens, this is a good class, not overly great. I think Josh Oliver isn't really anything right now. You know, I think he's going to have to prove himself. I'm kind of taking Josh Oliver out of it for now because ultimately I don't think he's going to make the team. I think the third tight end spot is going to go to Jacob Breland. That's my prediction for that, especially if Baltimore doesn't draft the tight end. That's just what I think. Maybe it's going to be wrong, but that's my expectation. The two guys I'm focusing on are Sammy Watkins and Kevin Zeitler. Zeitler was literally signed on the first day of free agency on March 15th. 3-year, $22 million contract. Really nice deal. 9 years out of Wisconsin. I mean, he's overall a very solid player. He's someone who, you know, you watch him play on the Bengals and the Browns and the Giants, and you think, oh man, like, this is someone you want on your team. And for Zeitler, very hardworking, puts his hand in the dirt and does a really good job at guard. And I think that for the Ravens, right, they have a lot of work to do on their offensive line still, whether it be moving Bradley Bozeman to center, moving Ben Power to left guard, drafting some guys. But I still think that Zeitler, he's going to be penciled in as that right guard. He's going to play really well, and he's going to shore up the interior of that offensive line that had a bit of issues at times last season. Sammy Watkins is the other big signing, the wide receiver from Clemson, 8 years in the NFL. And look, Sammy Watkins, after missing out on Juju Smith-Schuster and T.Y. Hilton, two names that the Ravens were reportedly in on, I think Sammy Watkins is a nice consolation prize. I mean, look, Smith-Schuster, Hilton obviously didn't want to come to Baltimore at the end, wanted to go back to their original teams. That's their decision. But again, what I've noticed from Sammy Watkins, he has bought into this team, bought into this offense, and supports Greg Roman, which I think is pretty rare, especially from fans nowadays. So I think that all, it's just, you know, he has a belief in this team and this offense that it can soar to new heights. And with that, right, that's contagious. And you want that kind of leader in your locker room. Watkins is 27 years old. He'll be the veteran in that room. So I'm glad that the Ravens ended up going out and getting a veteran receiver instead of taking two in the upcoming draft that's going to happen in just a few short weeks. But there are all the guys that Baltimore did miss out on. I thought Corey Davis for the deal he got would be phenomenal. Marvin Jones Jr. There are a bunch of guys. Emmanuel Sanders. And then even on the defensive side of the ball, you see a couple of edge guys. Maybe Haason Reddick could have been nice. Jadeveon Clowney, who signed yesterday, would have been okay. I still think Justin Houston is my guy for that role, who I would like to see penciled into a Baltimore Ravens uniform, into a Baltimore Ravens starting spot. But, you know, you can't do too much with not a lot of cap space. Teams like the Patriots, right? All these different teams having a ton of cap space, signing literally everyone. Houston, another team who signed like 30 free agents from outside the organization or something. The Ravens just did not have that much cap room. And you know, they did some restructures and did a couple of other things along those lines, but still, it was an interesting but a little underwhelming, in my opinion. I think they could have gone out and gotten a couple more guys, but this is the plan that they've kind of executed on for years, so it wasn't overly surprising to me. I wasn't, you know, freaking out like I think a lot of people started the offseason doing, but, you know, as the offseason went on, things started to slow down. I think people started to understand a bit of like, all right, you know, this roster's still pretty good. A lot of guys did re-sign with the Ravens, though. I'm just going to go down the list here. Chris Board, linebacker. Tyus Bowser, outside linebacker. Nick Boyle, tight end. Khalil Dorsey, cornerback. Justin Ellis, defensive tackle. LJ Fort, linebacker. Anthony Levine Sr., defensive back. Pernell McPhee, outside linebacker. Jordan Richards, safety. Geno Stone, safety. Eric Tomlinson, tight end. And Derek Wolfe, defensive end. So out of these guys, right, this is a lot of names. These are a lot of names right here, but I do think that retaining Tyus Bowser and Derek Wolfe ultimately are the two biggest moves of this offseason. And, you know, at least from an internal perspective of re-signing guys and making sure guys are under contract. McPhee also is up there, bringing back LJ Fort. Another one that's up there. Same thing with Nick Boyle, who had his contract extended and reworked throughout the offseason. So, again, a lot of guys who Baltimore had a lot of success with in 2020 and even seasons before that in some cases. And guys who I think are going to contribute in plenty of big ways. Guys who I wasn't necessarily on board with re-signing, who ended up re-signing. You know, Justin Ellis didn't really do a lot for me. You know, he's a fine depth piece. I think if he's asked not to do too much, he is what you want in that role. But, you know, if he takes away from snaps from a younger, promising player, I don't know how I really feel about that. And then other than that, I don't really have any, you know, glaring issue with any guy who was signed here. I mean, they're all decently good depth signings, right? I mean, Chris Board really had a strong year in 2020. Hopefully he can continue to build on that. So a lot of guys here who the Ravens did re-sign who I think, you know, just again, going to have a big impact on this team when it comes down to it. Guys who were still unrestricted free agents who played in Baltimore in 2020. Dez Bryant, wide receiver, Pierre Desir, defensive back, and DJ Fluker, a guard/tackle. I don't expect any of these three back in Baltimore. Maybe Pierre Desir, if the Ravens want to sign him to a training camp deal. Ultimately, Dez Bryant's time just did not work out in Baltimore, as has been well documented by both the receiver and other media outlets. And DJ Fluker, he had an up and down year. Honestly, he's someone who I don't think would benefit from coming back to Baltimore. I don't think the Ravens even want him back, so it's not a big deal, but played well in some spots, played not so well in others, and I think that, you know, the ups come with the downs come with the ups, right? It's all there, but for me, I think the Ravens are going to try to just keep Orlando Brown around, in my opinion. I think he's going to be in Baltimore for one more season. I think that's really what I'm getting. That's the sense I'm getting, and maybe I'm completely wrong, But I just don't think Fluker brings enough to the table when it comes to if Orlando Brown gets hurt or if he gets traded or if Ronnie Stanley gets hurt again. I don't think Fluker is that guy who you can rely on to make a Super Bowl run with as a starter. So for me, I think all three of those guys are not going to return to Baltimore. Finally, the sad part of this, the players who are signing with other teams, who have signed with other teams. I'm just going to roll down the list here. Morgan Cox, long snapper, signs with the Tennessee Titans. Mark Ingram, running back, signs with the Houston Texans. Matthew Judon, outside linebacker, signs with the New England Patriots. And Chris Moore, wide receiver, signs with the Houston Texans. Yannick Ngakoue, defensive end, signs with the Las Vegas Raiders. And Matt Skura, the center, signs with Miami. Jihad Ward, the defensive end, signs with the Jaguars. And finally, Willie Snead, the wide receiver, signs with the Las Vegas Raiders. There are a couple of big losses on here. Matthew Judon, pretty big loss for this team, signs a nicely sized deal with the New England Patriots. He'll be good over there. I think Bill Belichick's going to get the most out of him. Yannick Ngakoue, his time did not work out in Baltimore. You know, I think a lot of people were very disappointed with him. Signs with the Raiders, so that'll be an interesting deal. Fully guaranteed deal for Ngakoue in Las Vegas, too. Jihad Ward is an underrated loss. I think he was never going to return to Baltimore after having some playing time issues with coaches. Snead is another guy who I think his time was up in Baltimore, but the loss still stings of him. You know, very veteran guy, very good guy for this locker room, and he will be missed. But other than that, I don't think guys will be missed a ton. Morgan Cox, phenomenal long snapper for so many years in Baltimore, but the Ravens have confidence in Nick Moore. That's not an overly big drop-off in play, in my opinion. Mark Ingram just did not have playing time left for him. Chris Moore never really got it going. Both of those guys going to Houston. And yeah, Matt Skura, didn't really anticipate him returning. Had a really, really bad year in 2020. I give him a lot of credit for coming back from that gruesome knee injury he suffered in 2019. But it just wasn't there for him, and I think a fresh start is going to benefit him. So overall, again, interesting offseason for the Ravens, not what anybody was anticipating by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we have to remember that Baltimore's roster is very competitive already. It was very competitive without adding anybody. So I'm going to give this B-/C+. I think the Ravens definitely could have done more. But, you know, I like the signings they made. They didn't lose anybody, like, vitally, vitally important to their team. Judon hurts, and Ngakoue hurts in a way. But, you know, I'm not overly concerned about the players that they lost. They were able to kind of not have a massive loss, which I think is a really big thing. And guys who were decently replaceable, cough, cough, Justin Houston. But anyway, outside of all that, you know, it was a solid but unspectacular offseason so far in the first month here for Baltimore. I'm sticking with B-/C+. Getting a guard really helps. Getting a wide receiver like Sammy Watkins does help as well. And bringing back Tyus Bowser, Derek Wolf, LJ Fort, Pernell McPhee, right? All guys who are going to do a lot for this team. So yeah, B-/C+ here is my grade. It can go up, it can go down as the offseason continues. But through the first month, I'm giving this Baltimore Ravens team a B-/C+. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we return, we're going to be talking about some mock drafts that we received from Twitter for Mock Draft Monday, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline is you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our final segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Your host, Kevin Allstriker, still talking with you here. And we're now going to get into some mock drafts that we received from Twitter for Mock Draft Monday. Starting off with Derek Egan, who says one with a wide receiver early and one without. So I'm going to take the one with the wide receiver, the one where Derek selects a wide receiver early, and he takes Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, pick 27. Diami Brown, the wide receiver from North Carolina, is the pick at number 58. At 104, Jamar Johnson, the safety from Indiana, is the selection. And Robert Hainsey, the tackle from Notre Dame, is the pick at 131. At 171, Aaron Banks, the guard from Notre Dame, is the selection. And at 184, Janarius Robinson, the edge from Florida State, is the pick. Finally, at 210, Cole Van Lannen, the tackle from Wisconsin. This is a really interesting draft. I think the 1-2 of Rashad Bateman and Diami Brown is a nice 1-2, but I don't think Baltimore should take two wide receivers in this draft. Regardless, I think it should only be one, and Bateman is one of my guys in this draft, so I'm all on board the Rashad Bateman train. But maybe instead of taking Zaimi Brown, maybe an edge rusher there, maybe a stud center. But my other comment is there are a lot of offensive linemen taken in this draft here. Three taken in a draft where I could honestly only see Baltimore taking one because they still have young guys like Tyree Phillips and Ben Bredesen and Ben Powers and Tristan Colon-Castillo, Patrick McCarrie. And those are mostly guys who aren't even going to start next season, so they have a lot of depth already. I just don't think they'd be able to keep all of these guys on the roster at that position, so maybe investing in a cornerback, an interior defensive lineman, maybe a tight end. Those are positions that I think the Ravens could invest in, but Jamar Johnson, a good pick. I like Cole Van Lannen a lot, and then just some nice depth. I just think it might be, you know, too much depth, and, you know, there is a saying that, you know, you could never have too much depth. But if you can't keep that depth on the roster, especially when you are high on some of these guys like Hainsey and Banks, potentially, it could be tough unless the Ravens trade a guy like Tyree Phillips or Ben Bredesen so that they can make room on the roster for some of these guys. So overall, a nice draft here. I think it might be a little bit too much for depth in a couple of positions, but really nice prospects that could help the team out. Next, we're going to take a look at a mock draft from Bry, who has the Ravens taking Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver, at pick 27. Carlos Basham Jr., the edge, is the pick at pick 58, and at 104, Andre Sisco, the safety, is the selection. Walker Little, the offensive tackle, is the pick at 131, and Kyrie Tonga, the interior defensive lineman, is the selection at 171. Drake Jackson, the interior offensive lineman, is the pick at 184, and finally, at pick 210, Shakur Brown, the cornerback, is the selection. So again, all on board the Rashad Bateman train here for me. No complaints if Rashad Bateman falls to 27. That has to be the pick if he's available at 27. It has to be the pick. Wide receiver one potential. He's the guy who, yeah, you have Jamar Chase and Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, but Rashad Bateman is the guy who I think is in the realm of, yeah, the Ravens can probably trade up to get him if they don't feel like he's going to get there at 27. He's the most realistic stud target for me. Terrace Marshall Jr. also I like a lot. Kadarius Toney has some nice traits as well. So they will still have options at wide receiver, I think, at 27. Hopefully it is Rashad Bateman. I would love that. Carlos Basham Jr., great pick, I think. He has a lot to work on, but I still think that he has a ton of good things that he did at the college level that people are overlooking because his stock has dropped in recent years. Andre Sisco, one of my favorite safeties, did have a pretty big injury, but still, I think he's going to be a phenomenal NFL player. And then the depth throughout the draft, two offensive linemen in this one, so not as many as three, but I still don't know if they'll be able to keep two other offensive linemen on the roster outside of who they already have. And then also some nice depth with an interior defensive lineman and a cornerback. So overall, a nice draft here from Bry. Rashad Bateman, honestly, if the Ravens get Rashad Bateman in the first round, I'm already calling that mock draft a win regardless of who the Ravens take in the rest of the rounds. But overall, Rashad Bateman and a lot of other nice picks here from Bry. Finally, here we're going to take a look at a mock draft from Tefro, who has the Ravens taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker, at pick 27. At pick 58, Zaimi Brown, the wide receiver, is a selection, and at 104, Andre Sisco, the safety, is the selection. David Moore, the interior offensive lineman, is the pick at 131, and at 171, Ellerson Smith, the edge, is the pick. Trey McKitty, the tight end, is the selection at 184, and at 210, Jalen Darden, the wide receiver, is the pick. So this is a nice draft. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I think, falls under the best player available strategy. He doesn't necessarily fill an immediate need unless, you know, for example, Tavon Young gets hurt and he has to move out the slot cornerback or they play him at safety a little bit. But he really can play all over the field, a really dynamic player. I love him. And if he's available and there isn't really another guy who you're really comfortable taking, I think the Ravens could take him as the best player available and just fit him into the positionless defense that they love to run. Zaimi Brown, a wide receiver, good pick there, is the Ravens' first wide receiver. Andre Sisco, I just talked about a couple of minutes ago, really, really nice safety, fills a lot of what they need at that position. David Moore, nice interior offensive lineman. I think he is a steal at 131, kind of getting undervalued in my opinion. Ellerson Smith is interesting. I don't know if the Ravens are going to wait this long to take an edge rusher. I feel like the Ravens will probably take an edge rusher before then. Trey McKitty, nice tight end prospect. And Jalen Darden, probably not getting taken if the Ravens already take a wide receiver earlier than this, and I think they will. Again, I don't think Baltimore's going to end day two without one receiver, at least one receiver. I hope it's just one, though, as I've been saying, but regardless, I mean, the top three here, Owusu-Koramoah, Brown, Sisco, and then other depth that Tefro has here, a really solid mock draft. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be rounding out the week with more Ravens talk, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.